Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, with my sweetie beside me, Elder Benny Burrell. We are grateful and thankful to each of you who have joined us on the web and joined us dialing in tonight for a conversation with three champions. These are champions. These are some powerful women. Amen. That God has blessed us to have on our show tonight. We welcome Shante Hudson Scott, founder and CEO of A Walk in My Shoes, LLC. We welcome Minister Pastor Tish Coleman. Isn't Pastor Tish Coleman? Pastor Tish Coleman?
Yes.
Pastor Tish Coleman of Kingdom Way Ministries, where she serves with her husband, but this woman has some other things that she does. We're also grateful and thankful for Dion Avery, who is the founder of Behind the Mask Ministries, LLC, another phenomenal advocate for domestic violence in this region. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Amen. So glad to be here.
Amen. I am grateful. I am grateful, and there is a stir, and I'm grateful, y'all. I'm grateful. I have these ladies with us tonight because a few weeks ago, Lady Shante had a symposium where we all met, and we were discussing domestic violence and what we can do, how we can do. We talked about it. We shared stories. We listened to statistics. There was some movement in the midst of us. And one thing I shared with them before we left is that we're not going to just keep it in October. Domestic violence is something that happens always. It needs to be in the forefront always. Statistics say that around every 9 seconds, that another woman is being beaten in the United States of America. Every 9 seconds, someone is being beaten or violated. And that's just women, but we know that domestic violence doesn't just happen with women, and it doesn't just affect us as women. But men are violated. Children are affected. And so tonight, we just want to take time. We want to share our hearts towards advocacy. We want to share change that would be able to make an impact in the decrease of domestic violence. And we really just want God to have his way. So I'm going to start with you, Dion. Tell our listening audience a little bit about you and give us your thoughts on where you see domestic violence and what you think could make a difference.
Well, first, hello to the audience. I am Elder Dion Avery from Behind the Mask Ministry. The ministry that I have was burst out of my own pain. I am a survivor of domestic violence, which I don't really like to call it being a survivor anymore, because as we know, you are a victim. You are, if you can get through it, you're a survivor. And then I like to get to the final stages, as Shante and I talked about previously, where you're an overcomer. I don't like the stigma of survivor anymore. I overcame that. I went through. And I feel like my purpose in going through was to be able to help somebody else, to help them deal with domestic violence, to help them, to be a support system for them, to help get them to services, just to be a true advocate for domestic violence. And as far as where I see domestic violence going from here, I know we typically want to focus on the victim. And it's really important to focus on that victim. But I think there's a piece that we don't really think about, and that piece is the abuser. What if we could get to the abuser before he really or she became abusive, when they displayed signs of the abuse? What if we could get to them there? If they started to display those signs early enough, if we could get them to services early enough, maybe we won't have the senseless killings that we've noticed in the media here lately. So that's a piece I think we don't think about that we might want to begin to try to address. I have a friend that was once abusive, and he tried to get help because he didn't like that portion of himself. And the court system turned him away because I guess he wasn't abusive enough for anyone to press charges. But he tried to get assistance and couldn't. So I'd like to see us focus on the abuser as well, not just the victim.
Thank you all for saying.
Okay.
It knocked me out, but praise God it didn't knock you all out. I liked what you were sharing, Dion, about dealing with the one who causes the pain, because I think also that that's left out, and often with that, the person who is the abuser, somewhere along the line was abused.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, and you know, we've heard and we've read, hurt people, and so I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It's a perpetual
Lady
cycle.
Sunday. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Hello, everybody. My name is Shante Hudson Scott with Wakamashu LLC, and I, as Lady Valerie Burrell had said about a month ago, we did come together for Heals Without the Hurt Symposium, and that is where we came together for 2 days and awareness about how we can better advocate for marginalized survivors and taking into consideration the realities of the survivors' lives. And it was an awesome and very rich time to come together to bring awareness to this amongst community leaders, entrepreneurs, church leadership as well. And as my sister had said, I'm Dion Avery, you know, it's not about just being a survivor, because we know we have breast cancer survivorship, and especially with domestic violence, the whole thing about survivorship. But at one point, you have to be in a place where you have overcome, because as long as you have yourself in a place where you're just surviving, that means you're still in this cycle of pain. As I've said before, you're just in this cycle of pain where you just keep repeating and you're not really making moves or coming to a place where you're walking in wholeness. So we like to use the stance of just being an overcomer with it, because when you get sick and tired of a thing, when you're really sick and tired, you'll change the trajectory or your path. And especially with domestic violence, or as we stated before, with intimate partner violence, rather, you know, you have to do something about it. You have to change. And there are resources out here. There are different organizations and groups where we can really spread the word, get the word out to bring about a change. And to actually answer your question, where do I see domestic violence? I'm finding that in this millennial generation now, it's trickling down to different faces and spaces. It's not just the whole thing of a man beating a woman or vice versa, but you're finding it in different facets now, especially with human trafficking, which is another initiative that I have in Walk in My Shoes. You have human trafficking. You're starting to see that there are a lot of young girls or young women that are being killed. They are being missing. They're coming up, you know, just about everywhere, every place you could think of. It's becoming more and more where it's just this thing of, it's not just about abuse, but it takes on so many different forms now that we can't just compartmentalize it or put it in just one box. Or, you know, like I said, with man, woman, woman, man, you know, even with same sex, it's happening as well. So, you know, there's domestic terrorism or violence terrorism. So it's just taking on different facets. And so we have to really educate ourselves and just get the word out there, get the training, because I know Deanna Avery is an excellent advocate with that because she has training. You know, mm-hmm. I have training, and there's different resources out here that we can spread the word and get the message across that this is a actual issue that is growing and that we just have to really, really, really keep in sync with what's going on. So that's why I see it.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's the same thing, but it's looking different. And with the trafficking and it's painful to see. I remember the slideshow that the beautiful woman shared with us about the change that took place in a particular woman over a matter of time and mm-hmm. how she was affected because of how she was affected. I think back to my own story because for a long time, although I got away from it, I still never called myself a victor. I didn't see myself as an overcomer because emotionally I still carried it. And I think that that's something that as advocates and as change agents dealing with this social problem, we have to get people to a place of wholeness. And it first requires that they have a mind to want to change. Because no matter how much we talk, no matter how much we train, no matter how much we put it before them, until someone is sick and tired of being sick and tired of what they're dealing with, the change is not going to happen. So, yeah, that's powerful. Tish, share with our listening audience a little bit more about you, the work you do, and your thoughts regarding domestic violence, intimate partner violence, this ball of confusion that we deal with.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am Tish, pastor with my husband of Kingdom Way, LLC. And I have a ministry that I also head, and I'm the founder of. I've been pushing this ministry for, I think, maybe the last 2 years, and it's called HEALS, Women's Empowerment. And the HEAL stands for Encourage, Empower, Lead, and Strengthen. And my own personal story does fall in line with this because as women, sometimes we don't want to talk. We're afraid. We can't, you know, family doesn't listen. I've listened to stories where women have shared with me that they shared it with their mom and their mother didn't believe them or didn't see that their spouse could be that mean or that evil, as they put it. I am a personal survivor, but I think I'm more of an overcomer because I did survive it. But just because I survived it doesn't mean that I'm still not traumatized by it. So for me, I was a victim, but then I survived, and then I overcame everything that was connected to it all. And I realized I was an overcomer when I no longer wanted him dead. When I didn't say, Lord, if I see him, I'm going to run him over with my car. When I just, you know, whatever is going on in his life, God, so be it. Just keep him where he is and let me continue on with my life. But I no longer wanted harm to come. I no longer had fear rise up in me at just the very thought of this man. And to me, that was the overcomer. So stepping forth and taking authority, giving me my authority back to live freely and not looking over my shoulder. I was physically, mentally, sexually, and emotionally abused. So I was thrown into walls. I was forced to be sexual. I was emotionally traumatized, and mentally it affected me to the point that I didn't think I could leave or should leave. And I always heard other women say, you know, and I would always hear someone say, girl, she needs to leave, and she telling me it's hard. If that was me, and, you know, that was me saying, you know, to myself, if that was me, I would leave too. Well, you can't say what you'll do until you're actually in that situation, and leaving is a lot easier said than done, especially when leaving includes a new home, trying to find somewhere to go. You've got children. You're not working. And at that point in my life, I had just lost my job. So I was really beat down, on top of being physically beat down. And I never thought I would ever see myself in that position. And so from that point, I lived by the never say never, but always would say, God, let your will be done.
Amen.
Because I submitted control back over to him. What I feel needs to happen is I feel that we should share our stories more, avail ourselves more. Because one thing about it is I don't want to talk to you if I don't feel you'll understand. If I don't hear from you that you've been where I've been or you've been somewhere similar or that you can at least give me an understanding ear to help me find some peace. If I don't think you can effectively advocate for me to get out, and I really, really want to get out, I'm really, really not going to talk to you. This happened 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Last year was the first time I actually really shared. I began to share my story. And from that point, women begin to gravitate to me and open up to me. And it wasn't always about a physical issue as far as relationship goes, but they saw that there was a heart in there of transparency that they would, this person could understand me. So I think we need to not just say, you know, oh, I was a victim or I'm a conqueror, but let me help you. I think counseling needs to step it up more. There's more that can be done than just saying, you know, go talk to somebody. Is this person going to be effective? Are they going to really be able to help? So with improved counseling and just more realness within women and men, because women aren't the only ones being abused. And men are catching it harder because of the stigma that they're supposed to be so strong and unbreakable. So they never come forward. So I just think there needs to be it needs to be opened across the board to say even to our brothers, you're not weak. I'm not weak. We're just in a bad situation and we need to get out.
Amen. I so agree with you, and, you know, when you talk about the counseling component, one thing that I find is that people don't, like you said, if they don't think that you can identify with their struggle and not just say, oh, I'm so sorry, they don't want to hear that. They want transparency. They want authenticity, and they want a solution. And as a counselor, I find that often domestic violence is something that, especially with Christian counselors, is like they hear it, but they don't know what to do with it. And so with me, they do, because the first thing they want to, you know, we won't pray about it.
This ain't something that I need to pray about. You hear me? Hear me clear. I don't need to pray about this. I mean, God, cover me. But prayer really ain't the solution when you taking my head and knocking it upside the wall. Call it, oh, Jesus. No, I need you to give me a strategy to free myself from this. And my prayer is, God, don't let me pick up something and kill him. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
And so we have to come to a place of truth dealing with this, even with counseling and being the advocate and being the voice to speak into the lives of these hurting women and men. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we are.
Well, I think Tish made a valid point about us pretty much making ourselves available to have these conversations. People don't want to talk about it. There's been a stigma about domestic violence and people that have suffered and had to endure. And, you know, no one wants to have those conversations, but we need to have them because, like Tish said, people need to have someone tangible that they can go to that knows the struggle, knows the pain, understands that I'm not judging you because you're still there, because I understand it took me 6 times to leave and stay gone. And people need to understand that. So we do need more people that are willing to get out there and talk about it and put their hands to the plow and say, I'm willing to help. I'm willing to be a support system for you.
And I want to say something to that, too. This is Shante. Also with that, too, get somewhere and get on somebody's couch. I say that because, you can talk. I'm just going to be real. You can talk to the pastor. That's good. You know, you can get the church piece. But at the end of the day, you need to sit on somebody's couch professionally, talk it out. Get it out, reason, think about it, because like you said, you don't know what you would do, and that is from the best of us. We are in ministry, you know, we're women in leadership, but we flesh, so you don't know what you're going to do when you, you know, when you get placed in that situation. So it's good to really know your truth and talk it out, again, reason, rationalize where you are. And get the help that you need. It's okay. It doesn't make you any less anointed. It doesn't make you any less professional. It doesn't make you less of a woman. If you really know your worth as a man or a woman, get the help that you need. Sit on somebody's couch and talk it out. It's okay. It's okay.
It absolutely
not
is.
Not only that.
It absolutely is.
Not only that. Not only that, but and also talking, we can't always make everything spiritual.
True.
Definitely.
There's a
You preaching.
There is a problem. There is a problem with being too heavenly minded or too spiritually minded that we are no earthly good because we're looking at maybe the person that we got into the relationship with. And so, that's, you know, you're going through this because you, he may be the wrong person, but I don't believe that Christ is allowing this man to beat on me. That is a mistake I made. And this may be the result of it, but this is not a spiritual thing. This is a natural thing that is happening. This is something that is, this is not spiritual. You can't tell me, let's pray about it. Praying is me making a request. Well, God is all seeing and all knowing. So he knows I'm being beaten. He knows that he's being beaten. So it's not like we need to stop and pray about this thing. But now let's ask God, how are we going to eradicate the situation? How are we going to get this person out of this relationship? How am I going to show this young man that guess what? This is not a charge against your manhood, but it is a charge against your heart and that you need to disconnect so we can get you out and get you some help. It's not about, we can put Christ in it, but you kill the person. You kill them. You are, it's pre, to me, it's premeditated, because if I tell you that, you know, if I tell you that the reason that you are being beaten, and let me help you. I can say that because it was said to me on the altar while I was getting prayer. I was told by a woman of God, and I use that term loosely in that moment.
Come on.
Because how dare you tell me that the reason I'm going through what I'm going through, and then you're off and you're wrong, you tell me it's because I won't submit to my husband.
Oh.
Excuse me, what? And if I have not been strong enough in Christ, that not only could have crushed me, killed me, and destroyed me, but it could have ended my relationship with Christ. I would have left that church broken and never came back to anybody's ministry. But I knew better, and I went and I told my leaders. And my leaders handled it like they were supposed to. But this is what's going on. The church is misinformed. They are thinking that God is the answer. No, God is using you as a conduit.
Come on.
To provide his children with the help they need. The problem is, we don't have relationship, we have religion. And so we're looking at it from one side of the spectrum when we need to be looking at it from the other side. And not, and let's come down off of the mountain. Come down from Zion for just a second. Because if heaven can touch the earth, then that means you've got the authority to walk in it and hear clearly from God what needs to be done to save that young man, to save that young woman, to save that wife, to save those children, to help them. But we can't hear because we are not in position. So how can you help me? And why would I want you if I also witnessed you tell somebody else? Oh, it was,
well,
you know, if you would have never did that, if you would have never done that, and I'm sorry, but I hear God. This is not what he called the church to be used for.
Yes.
You coming in wounded and leaving slaughtered.
Come on, sis.
You coming in broken and leaving a pile of dust.
Ooh.
You're supposed to be put back together, but you're leaving more confused.
My
I'm supposed to come
goodness.
To Christ for answers, and I'm leaving with more questions. Thank you, God.
More questions. Yes. More questions,
thank you, God.
More hurt, more harm, more of that which I want changed, I leave with more. Wow. Wow. Gosh, this time is going by so quickly, ladies. Audience, thank you so much for calling in. But as you were speaking, the Holy Spirit said to offer to you all at least once a month, if y'all want to come back and we can continue this dialogue monthly. So that we can start releasing resources and opportunities so that people can get the help that they need to be free from domestic violence. So y'all think, amen, amen. Y'all let me know, and we will make it happen, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, our time is up. Wow.
Wow.
Lady Shantae, I know, right? Lady Dion, Lady Tish, thank you all so much for your time and what you deposited today. Y'all keep watching my page, watch their page. We'll let you know when we'll do this again, but we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation because we want to make a difference, and it won't just be a difference here, but we want to make a difference globally in the area of domestic violence and intimate partner violence. Ask you all to join me again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. We will be having another teaching. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room and rejection. Until then, it's our prayer that you be empowered. Do something to empower yourself every day. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.